Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle with Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you, as always, for listening to our content. But for more in-depth coverage on the Indiana Hoosiers football, basketball, and recruiting news, go to thehoosier.com on 3. Now with On 3 and great national writers like Ari Wasserman, Andy Staples, and Steve Wiltfong for football, Pete Nakos, J.B. Shaw, and Joe Tipton's constantly breaking stories on the basketball side, and the local coverage from Alec Lasley, Kyler Staley, and Zach Browning. You can catch something new every day at thehoosier.com. Go there. Sign up today.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh! Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni!
Float game for the win!
Ayler's gone! Come on, touchdown!
Pretty simple. I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome aboard to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Jim Coyle with you as always on this Wednesday. Grateful to have you no matter where or how you're listening, whether it's on one of our great radio station affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, WREF, The Ref in Evansville, always the right call, or up in the region on The Voice of the Region, 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne Sports Station, 1380 The Fan. You're in the right spot now. Just keep it locked there all day throughout your travels. And if you're following us on social media, YouTube, make sure you have hit that subscribe and, more importantly, the like button. Hopefully you like us. I like being here and definitely like being with you guys. Another great program on board today. Dylan Sin from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette will be joining us. Kyle Nedenrip from the Indy Star. We'll get caught up on all of the all-star situations. And Rick Bozich, the captain from WDRB.com, will be joining us as well. Hope all is going well with you. Plenty to talk about. The soccer, you've got the basketball tournament, the TBT, which Assembly Ball will be returning to that. And it was announced that Indiana's soccer alumni soccer team will also be returning to the soccer tournament, the TST, the soccer tournament, which is of the same ilk. But hopefully they'll have some luck, and they have not won that thing yet, so hopefully they can get in there and get something done. But that's just a cool deal to see. About the only two sports that I think that you could do that in, to be honest. But fun. I wish I would have thought of that, the TBT. That's always a great thing to watch. And the fact that the finals, hopefully they're, I haven't heard, but I'm assuming they'll be back in, or the Hinkle will be a regional site at a minimum. I think they should just move the finals there personally, but a little bias there, but there's no better place in the world to host a basketball event than Indianapolis. Glad to have you along today, guys. How about this? If you have any familiarity with NASCAR racing, you know that the Bristol Motor Speedway is like a coliseum. It is small. It's one of the smallest tracks on the NASCAR circuit, but it has a gigantic capacity because it is like a coliseum. Holds about 165,000 people. for a race, I think. They set a record by having a football game there a few years back with Tennessee and Virginia Tech. I think they got, I don't know, upwards of 150, I don't know, maybe 157,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people for a football game, people. It's a lot. But they've got something else in mind now. How about a baseball game? Yeah. A baseball game. Major League Baseball game. Not college. Major League. And not just Major League. Atlanta, which a smart pick for the draw, of course. Their opponent, the Cincinnati Reds. It's going to be interesting to see baseball play. I'm wondering how many people they will get in there. Not, it will not be like it was for the football game, without question. But pretty unique. Major League Baseball has gone to some different places. Of course, the most notable maybe is the Field of Dreams in Iowa, where they have played a couple of times. And maybe they should play there once a year. I think so. But who am I? But, yeah, obviously they're going on to do something different. And going to Bristol is one of those things. But that should be cool. I will say that Bristol's a place I used to go to some when I was roping. There was a place there where we'd go. There is no easy way to get to and from Bristol, Tennessee. I mean, it's hard. It's old, way over in eastern Tennessee. And I just remember driving home from that saying, I don't see me coming back here. Enough driving without making it harder. But what a great, great facility. Cool place. So we'll see how that turns out. The portal has come and gone in college basketball. It is now closed, but that doesn't mean a lot. It just means you cannot enter the portal now. If you're already in it and you haven't found a new destination, you've got plenty of time. You've got all the way through school starting to when you can get into a new school. But that stat that I read, I think it was yesterday, talking about that potentially, was it 70%? That couldn't be right. My memory is not that great, but I remember reading that stat and I was shocked at how many potentially would not find a home. But you have to enter the portal unless you get a great deal done from where you are. And there's other reasons that lead you to stay. And because a lot of times, money is not it, man. Money is not the end-all, be-all. Although it is important, you certainly don't want to make the big screw-up mistake that Nico Iamaliava, whatever his last name is, and from what I've been told, his father, see, that's what happens. You get people sticking their nose into something that just don't know what the hell they're doing. And what do? You screwed it up. If that is true, he cost his son more money than he's probably ever made in a lifetime. Wouldn't be surprised, because he cost his son about $1 million at a minimum. At a minimum. Might have been able to get a little bit more than that too, somewhere else, but they not only did they kind of screw themselves by how they acted towards Tennessee, trying to renegotiate after an agreement, and then to quickly be able to go someplace else, yeah, that just doesn't sound right. It's just a little weird there. And to go to a place that is known to have NIL problems. I just find the whole thing, I don't want to say funny because it's not really. It's sad for the kid if he was a victim of that. But hey, you live, you learn. But going forward, what is the likelihood that that kid is going to stay at UCLA? Now, that's somewhat not fair because you can say that about a lot of people right now, a lot of athletes. Hell, you can say that about almost about every athlete, if you want to be honest. But my point there is, let's say he does go someplace next. Who the hell wants to talk with that guy? I wouldn't. The first thing I'd say was, leave your dad at home. If you want to talk to us, leave your dad at home. We have no desire to talk to him. Oh, okay. Bye. Very simple. There's enough out there. And if this kid goes and lays an egg, oh, that'll be egg on the face, baby. Egg on the face! Welcome aboard on this Wednesday. Beautiful day out yesterday. Another beautiful day coming today. Indiana basketball lands another guard out of the portal as it has closed. And talked a little bit about this yesterday, but Indiana is going to be a vastly different look than what you have seen for 8 years. 8 years. This is going to be that drastic. Looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that with Rick. Yeah, Buffalo Bill, how about those Pacers, man? I just lost him. He said they're getting it done. 2-0. That's right. Wasn't Damian Lillard back? Wasn't all that chirpy, all that talking last night? Or, I mean, the game before? Wait till I come back. You were back. But we'll see how the Pacers do it. Now they've got to go off to Milwaukee now, I believe, right? At least you get to play back-to-back games in the playoffs in the NBA. You've got some guys that are leaving and going to the NBA, the NFL. Cooper Flagg has confirmed that he is not coming back, no matter how much Duke fans would like for him to. We are going to hit our first break. Glad to have you along for the ride on this Wednesday from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Make sure get out and visit Hard Truth over in Nashville, especially. Man, this is a perfect day for that. Sit out on the beautiful patio or go there this weekend, listen to some live music, enjoy some Hard Truth, whether it's in a glass or coming from someone's mouth. And that I meant words coming from the mouth, of course. Glad to have you along. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios right after these messages. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the ride. As the college basketball portal has come to a close, football portal open for the remainder of the week. The Chicago White Sox, our buddy Rick Bozich, who will be with us later in the program, diving back into the NIL game, the franchise announced this year's roster of Chi Sox athletes. 2025 season marks the White Sox fourth year of initiative, which puts a spotlight on athletes from the Chicago area through NIL deals. Notre Dame linebacker Drake Bowen and Michigan State guard Jeremy Fears Jr. now are new to the Chi Sox athletic program, along with Miami volleyball libero Anna McClure, Northwestern forward Nick Martinelli, and Michigan quarterback Jair Hill. Other newcomers include Western Michigan's defenseman Zach Sharp, Minnesota dancer Maddie Vercelli, Western Michigan gymnast Hannah Milton, and Creighton forward Owen Freeman, St. Louis forward Robbie Avila. Isn't that Mr. Goggles? Formerly of Indiana State. Indiana football center Pat Coogan, former Notre Dame guy. Notre Dame midfielder Berkeley Mensick and Minnesota hockey forward Abby Murphy are among the returning players, the Chi Sox athletes. So congratulations to Pat Coogan, Indiana center, a guy they picked up from Notre Dame. Robbie Avila, who's perhaps better known his nickname Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, was among the group to throw out a ceremonial first pitch during the 2024 season. He's a Southside Chicago native, grew up a White Sox fan, and which is not necessarily a requirement to be a Chi Sox athlete. Kind of funny. But he spoke with On3 about what it meant to step onto the mound. That would be cool. Moments before his pitch, between the game of the White Sox and the Orioles, having moments like this, being on a professional field like that with a crowd that you sat and watched all the time, I'm just blessed, Avila said, while standing behind home plate just prior to his pitch. I'm ready to have some fun. Good stuff. Yeah, I've never thrown out a first pitch, but I don't see, you always see the pressure that people are, oh man. And they're always say, don't stand on the mound because you've never stood on a mound. And it's different. So most people stand in front. I wouldn't. I would stand right in the mound, right there. And I don't see any reason why you could not deliver a strike, baby. I don't care. Pressure, what pressure? What pressure? Derek says, with the Kentucky Derby quickly approaching, he watched the Race for the Crown documentary on Netflix last night. It was pretty good. Yeah, the Kentucky Derby. You want to talk about around the corner. A week from Saturday. We'll be down there. It's like we'll be at Indianapolis for the 500. Now, the difference between Indy, you've got the month of May that goes on at Indianapolis, and down at Churchill Downs, it's got about 2 weeks of stuff. So it's in gear down there right now. Mornings, it's kind of a cool deal if you can get out there. Dawn at the Downs, you can go and breakfast and go out back to where the barns are, watch the horses run, getting their early morning workouts in. Andy says that IU is in communication with a kid from Greece. His last name is Avadalis, a 6'8" point guard, similar to Yakushonis from Illinois of last year. Michigan, Utah, and other teams are talking with him. Communication and getting it done. We'll wait till they get a little closer. Michael says that Dawson Garcia should go overseas to get a basketball job. Yep, Pacers 2-0 in the playoffs. How about that? Heath asking, isn't Sunseri the former IU quarterback guy at UCLA now? Yes, he is. And yes, he will be working with this Nico Amaleva. Nioko Amalevin. That's what I'm going to start using. I forget. Man, I wish I remember who gave him that nickname yesterday. Nico, I'm a leaving. Yes, but that is Tino Sunseri. That is UCLA's offensive coordinator. So he'll have that to work with. I don't know how good he really is, though, to be honest with you. I haven't heard people just raving about him. And if he was a difference maker, you would have thought Tennessee, although I wouldn't have liked to renegotiate either, you would have at least given it some consideration depending upon his talent level. And the fact that they gave it zero is either just taking a stand, which Josh Heupel was portraying it to be, or he's not that kind of a difference maker, and you hope that you can get what you need out of the portal, because Tennessee only has two quarterbacks right now, I think, with that dude leaving. So, and you'll get to see him in, like I mentioned, in October when UCLA comes to Bloomington to take on Indiana October 25th in game 8 of the season. What will Indiana's record be at that point? Man, last year I had it nailed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boy, that opening game against Illinois and to start Big Ten play, that is not easy. That is not an easy. You got them at home. Illinois is a team that is going to be vying to play in this college football playoffs next year. They've got their quarterback back. They were pretty good. They were just, if it hadn't have been for Indiana last season, you would have heard a lot more about Illinois bumping up towards making the college football playoffs. They weren't that far off. But with Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State already from the Big Ten and Indiana, those are the four. And Indiana just kind of shoved Illinois aside last year in the combination of the wins and losses, but also the notoriety they got from that. Well, Illinois will have their shot, but it will be in Bloomington, Indiana, when it comes in game 4 of the season. But then the next two games, that is where, to me, Indiana is going to have to make their bones. They go to Iowa and Oregon in back-to-back weeks. Well, is there a break in between? Yes. They do have a bye in between those two games. Boy, Indiana getting it, that's a perfect, perfect spot for that bye, that first bye as well. Coming after week 5 and after their first road game, which will prevent them from having to play back-to-back road games without a break in between. So, but either way, Indiana football is going to have to make their bones, I think, either at Iowa or Oregon. They'll have a shot at Penn State as well later in the year, but these are going to come early. Indiana should be 4-0 when they go to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes, who should also be aiming towards a college football playoff appearance this year with the addition of that quarterback from South Dakota. It's going to be kind of a different Iowa team, I'm wondering. One that adds the ability to throw the ball, not something you've seen before much. Indiana has to win a road game, in my opinion. They've got to. You have to beat either Iowa, Oregon, or Penn State on the road. There are other road games, but they have to win those. But these are ones that they're not expected to win. They're not going to be favored at Iowa, I don't think. Definitely not going to be favored at Oregon. They're not going to be favored at Penn State. Those might be the only 3 games of the year that Indiana is not favored. Now, that could all change. Let's say they beat Iowa and Oregon. Crazy? I get it. But hey, that's what we're here to do. Talk crazy. Let's get crazy, people! Well, that would 6-0. Then you got Michigan State. They could go 7-0, 8-0, 9-0. They could be 9-0 when they go play Penn State. Now that will include having one at Iowa and Oregon. I get it. Don't get excited just yet. But I'm just saying, I don't think that they would be favored. I just don't think they're going to be favored at Iowa, at Oregon, or Penn State. But I still think they need to win. They have to win one of those games if they have dreams of going back to the college playoffs, college football playoffs next season. That's no doubt. Have to win one of those three games. And if you do, then I think you're fine. There's no way. If you're 10-2 with road wins at Maryland, at Purdue, at Oregon or Iowa or Penn State, you're going to be fine, in my opinion. We'll see how that works out, but I truly believe that to be the case. But it's time to step up. I mean, I don't mean that to sound like they've gone so long and not done anything. It's been one season when they've had a great season. But if you want to stay in this level, you climbed the ladder and you got up into the loft last year, man, where the elite party is. But if you want to stay up there, this is what they have to do. They have to win one of those three road games. Without question. And that's one of the knocks on Indiana last year. Well, they didn't beat anybody. Well, they beat everybody on their damn schedule, except for the two teams that played for a national championship. So, enough with that. But this year, there won't be any of that because they will have the opportunity to do what they need to do to put any and all of that crap aside. We'll see how they do with it. Hopefully, it works out. Works out for them. Mike says he still thinks that Darren DeVries will go after yet another guard and a couple more wings. Well, he has to go after wings because they don't have many. And you only need probably two more bigs. And the rest, I don't know why you'd go after another guard. They have plenty there. But you need two more bigs. And the rest, wings, forwards. Guys that are... I think he's going to like a lot of guys that are 2-3, 3-4s. That could play either of those that are kind of interchangeable. A lot of guys that are 6'7", like Tucker DeVries, to be honest with you. You know, Tucker DeVries could probably play. Well, I know he can play the two or the three. At some points, he could possibly play the four if needed, depending upon this offense that is running. I think you're going to see more of positionless basketball for Indiana. We've seen it with a lot of other teams. It's starting to morph. Not everybody does this, though. Not everybody. I mean, that's not what you see at, say, Purdue. Matt Painter is still pretty traditional. He's got his bigs. He's got his set position pieces. Although Trey Kaufman-Wren is an unusual, I don't really call him a five. He's not a five. He's a four and a pretty damn good one. But he does most of his work on the inside. And that's fine if you have guys like Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, that are knocking down the shots or whomever else. You can play that. That's something Indiana hasn't had. They haven't had. See, if they would have had guys that could knock down shots, you can play with. You can win a lot more with guys like Trace Jackson Davis, who were Umar Ballo, who are anchored around the basket. If you have the other guys that can do what they can't, that's fine. But Indiana hasn't. It's been the feast or famine. Well, that's going away. Not going to be there anymore. It's going to be interesting. I know that Purdue will be picked to probably win the Big Ten next year, without question, because of the core they have coming back. the amount of the players that have stayed, that core that has been there the whole time. I don't think you ever see this again. Three guys of that stature that play 4 years together. That's the last of that run, I really believe, because it's too enticing now. The opportunities are too available. And Purdue is just one of the few teams that has still been able to stay out of the fray, so to speak. But I think that, too, is coming to an end. I've said it many times. It doesn't matter. Matt Painter I don't think he'll be able to keep guys as we get later on into this. Now, that's all a big part of that also, though, is the type of guy kids he's recruiting that are maybe they're more likely to stay without leaving. We'll see. But I just don't think that is going to last even for Purdue. It will be interesting to see which direction Matt Painter goes once these guys are gone, starting with next season. Joe says Ballo is maybe his least IU player ever. Yeah, Russell says Purdue is good enough to overcome athletic teams. I think they're not good enough to overcome athletic teams. That's why they will never win a national championship. Well, even as good as they may be next year, they're not going to be a national championship caliber winning team. You have to have NBA level talent, and not just level. You have to have NBA draft picks on your roster to win a national championship. It's just a fact. Go research it. Look at the winners. Go back. I don't know how many years back you can go that each team that won had an NBA one. I mean, most have multiple, but a minimum of one. I couldn't tell you how long it's been since a team did not have an NBA first round. Is Indiana the last team back in 87? It's not that far back, is it? Surely not. But I know that Indiana had some picks off of that team, including Steve Alford and whatnot, but none were in the first round, to my knowledge. So IU also the last team to win a national championship. The names on their jerseys. Coincidence? Yeah. I truly believe that is nothing but a coincidence, because most teams have the names on their jerseys now, and Indiana just hasn't won. A judge denies an injunction for Duke, North Carolina football players in NCAA eligibility suit. In a legal, you want to talk about breaking news? Breaking news in legal victories for the NCAA. What? Let me say that again. In legal victories for the NCAA, a judge denied an injunction for Duke and North Carolina athletes in two eligibility lawsuits. The cases were both filed in North Carolina Business Court in Durham County, North Carolina. Judge Matthew Houston declined to grant a preliminary injunction in Jones v. NCAA and Smith v. NCAA. Four athletes, UNC football players, J.J. Jones, Duke football players, Ryan Smith, Cam Bergeron, and Trayshawn Devones, filed the suits and challenged the NCAA's five-year rule, which gives most athletes four seasons on a roster over 5 years, barring injury exemption or waivers. The NCAA denied Smith, Bergeron, and Devones' waiver request, but Jones is still waiting on an answer. They brought the suits on the same day, April 3rd, in Durham County, and are being heard together. Jones and Bergeron are listed as plaintiffs in the Jones suit, while Smith and Devones are plaintiffs in the Smith case. The players argued that they should receive an extra year due to factors such as mental and physical struggles, a lack of playing time, or struggling to adjust to academic standards. Why don't you just put on there, their oxygen levels were slightly different. I had to adjust to the breathing. That is the most ridiculous crap. Now see, these guys should all be countersued for frivolous lawsuits. Every freaking one of them. Because that's bull bleep. That shows you how ridiculous it has gotten with people reaching and grabbing and clawing. Hey, give me mine. I want a piece of that. Hey, I need that. Hey, I deserve that. Hey, where's my trophy? Everybody else is getting one. Where's mine? What a bunch of malarkey. Oh, my gosh. A lack of playing time. It's because you sucked. You weren't good enough. You're still not good enough. If you were, you would have played. Get out of here with that crap. Man. Thank you. It's amazing. That's what it took for the NCAA to win a lawsuit, but mercy. Can you imagine had they lost that one? Whew. If they lost that one, it would just be just pack up. Pack the truck. Let's go. We're out. We're done. It's over. It's rolling out. Funny. Reese Davis believes making college athletes employees is the only answer. Yeah, well, I'm not seeing about that. He believes that making college athletes employees is the way forward for college athletics as a whole in the era where transfer portal and NIL, it must be done. Well, and I'm not saying that there are not arguments to that, but there are arguments against that for a multitude of reasons, whether it comes down to legalities, it comes into monetary reasons, it comes into all kinds of things when you become an employee. I say no. You know, 1099 maybe, but, you know, can you? That's going to be a tricky. It's a slippery slope. It's going to be a slippery slope. It's going to stay a slippery slope until, oh gosh, I hate to say this, until the government steps in and does something. And the worst thing that ever happens with athletics is when the government gets involved. That's usually not a good thing. Not a good thing. Hey, we'll talk more about this and many, many other things after we hit a break from the Hard Truth, the Stilling Company studios. Head out to Nashville and Hard Truth this weekend. Great place to go catch some rays, some food, some Hard Truth. Back with more right after these messages. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the ride as action continues to happen in college football, college basketball. The basketball portal has come and gone now. It is closed. Those that are in it are in it, and they're fine until trying to find a new place until school starts, basically. Football portal open until, I think, this Friday. Indiana making some headway already with a couple of defensive player pickups. You know, yesterday I talked about defensive lineman they picked up from Kent State, the former teammate of C.J. West. Now they have added a transfer linebacker, Kellen Wyatt, to the defense, which is exactly what they were looking for. That was the biggest pieces going into this portal were defensive. Brian Haynes needed a couple of pieces to fill in to pick up where his defense left off last season. He's being one of the tops in the country. And he seems to be adding just the very pieces that he needs. Indiana football landed its second spring commitment via the transfer portal this week with the additional Maryland transfer linebacker, Kellen Wyatt, a 6'2", 262-pound linebacker out of Glen Burnie, Maryland. Committed yesterday to Indiana. He played linebacker. Wyatt played linebacker at Maryland a season ago. He's expected to play along with the Hoosiers defensive front in the 2025 season. So moving him. Shoring up that D-line, man. Sounds pretty tasty. Shoring up a defensive line with a guy that played linebacker. That means he's athletic. He can move. He appeared in 11 games a season ago for Maryland, collecting 30 tackles, 8 tackles for a loss, which led Maryland in 2024, and 3 sacks. He also added a pair of forced fumbles a season ago. His best performance of last season came against Indiana back in September, where he recorded 5 total tackles, 2 of them for loss, a sack as well in Indiana's 42-28 win over Maryland in Bloomington. That's the second Maryland player Indiana's picked up, Roman Hemby, the linebacker. So some old teammates there. Picking up the good pieces of teams that are just below you. Not a bad strategy. Over the course of his 3-year Maryland career, Wyatt appeared in 35 games, totaling 80 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks throughout his college career. He's an active dude, man. That's the kind of player that you add that means something, that does something. He is expected to join a defensive front that will feature fellow transfers in Daly, Texas State defensive lineman Dominique Ratliff. Daly, I think that's the guy who, Stephen Daly, that's the Kent State defensive line transfer that talked about yesterday. But in addition to Daly, Texas State defensive lineman Dominique Ratliff, Western Kentucky defensive lineman Hosea Wheeler, as well as returning All-American Mikhail Kamara. Ooh. Then you've got Aiden Fisher at linebacker. I think they need a linebacker yet. You got D'Angelo Pons back in the back stalking. Defense going to look good again. But bringing Big Ten experience and 3 years worth of production to Bloomington, Wyatt will likely play a key role on Indiana's defense next season. So go to thehoosier.com, more on that, along with a video breakdown of Indiana's 4-star commitment, Henry Ollinger, who committed a few days ago. It's a big commitment to get out of Columbus, Ohio. So great get for Indiana, but a great video breakdown there done by Coach Griff for us. Just go to thehoosier.com, sign up now. Not sure who is somebody's talking I forget what you even call it. Comment section here. Couldn't get it out. Let's see. Notre Dame will be in the championship game for the CFP of this upcoming season. He says, I do not know if Notre Dame. Well, no. Why would they be? I don't know what Notre Dame is going to be like just yet. Rather wait till this stuff sorts itself out so we see who's got what. All kinds of conversations going on over in the comment section here. Yeah, that's funny, though. Who just said that? One of the scariest statements ever is, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. Love that. Yeah. So Indiana football, adding the pieces they need. Indiana basketball is... well, of adding pieces, adding another guard, as we talked about a little bit. What are they up to, 6 guards now? But you're going to see a lot of ball movement, an offense that has a lot of ball movement. You're going to see an offense that has a lot of shots going up, and the majority of them are not going to be from 2 feet from the basket. Not going to be 2 feet from the basket. And to have that many weapons, it's a luxury. Not everybody's going to be on every night. Sometimes somebody gets on a heater, baby, and you ride it. You just ride it. But Indiana, they've got to add some bigs, which I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know. Of course, that is what is on the wish list. What are they getting in Drayson Drake after landing yet another guard transfer from Drexel? He joins Connor Enright, Tucker DeVries, Reed Bailey, Lamar Wilkerson, Josiah Miles, and Tayton Conaway as players the Hoosiers have picked up via the transfer portal this season. So what is that? Drake is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've got 7 via the portal. You've got Trent Sisley. That's 8. So you still have, you can add up to 7 more players. Now, that gets you to 15. And do you necessarily have to have 15? You're going to need it for practice players. Now, those last 2 guys are probably not going to see court time, but you still need the bodies. So they still have 7 spots to fill. And with Reed being a big boy, you need to add two more bigs. Yeah, and then wings. And then you just go wings, man. Those 6-7 Unitarian guys, you utility type players that can play anywhere from the 2 to the 4. It's you can't think of traditional basketball with a point guard and the shooting guard only, and then a small forward, and then a power forward, and then a center. That's kind of being homogenized. A point guard can be freaking 6'5". He can be a combo 1-2. The 2 can be a 2-1. Or the 2 can play the 3 or the 4, which it's really becoming homogenized, which is great because it allows you to do more things with the same players. 5 Left thinks that Indiana needs 2 more freshmen. Well, that is not what I was looking at. I don't understand why that thing jumps like it does. Anyway, 5 Left says that, there we go. He thinks that Indiana needs 2 more freshmen. I would imagine that's a good point, too, because everything is focused on the portal right now because they've got to get this roster filled. And while freshmen are probably needed for the future, it's not what is at the head of the wish list right now, but it's something that still needs to be gotten done. And there's a timing issue on that. Those guys, I mean, how many solid freshmen are out there yet that have not committed anywhere? That's a great question that we'll talk to with Kyler Staley. We'll get him on tomorrow and talk some hoops. Who are some of the top uncommitted freshmen? I would imagine there aren't that many left. And if that is the case, do you just go out and get some guys to be bodies? The danger in that is, well, I guess you can always run them off. Hate to use that term, but is what it is. We've got to take a quick break. Lots more coming up from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. We're back with all of it and more on the other side. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Looking forward to Kyle, Ned, and Rip from Indy Star joining us. We'll talk some Indiana All-Star action, Mr. Basketball, all that good stuff. Rick Bozich from WDRB.com as well. And just hearing from Kyle Nedrip. Boy, we're 0 for 2 today. Kyle, not going to be able to join us. Man. Oh, well. I guess I'm going to have to carry the load today. you're stuck with me. And I guess there's worse places you can be, but I couldn't think of one for you. I apologize. Just kidding. Hope everybody is making it just fine, enjoying this beautiful day. But what was I just talking? Oh, yeah. Just hitting right now, Louisville. Let's see. Big man James Scott, he entered the transfer portal. Started 31 games for the Cardinals that last season, averaged 7 points and 6-1 rebounds a game. Now, I'm a little confused by that. Didn't the men's portal close yesterday? So, did that happen yesterday? And this is just now coming out. It's very confusing. But how is it all not confusing? Louisville gave Pat Kelsey a million-dollar raise, by the way. We talked earlier, mentioned the Pacers, another win in the Eastern Conference first-round playoffs as they get it done over Milwaukee. Hopefully they can continue that run. Now they have to head up to Cheese Heaven and see what they can do. What they can do. In Milwaukee, you had Damian Lillard that'll be back on the rise. Do they lose both games in Milwaukee or do they lose one? It'll be curious to see. I think that, man, can the Pacers get back to the finals? Can they? Yeah, they can. Do they get back to the finals? It's going to be interesting to see. This series is a little different. There's an animosity continues to rise. If you've seen it, it's been kind of chippy. The other night, Lillard got a technical off of the bench. He was not even dressed. And they're chirping. If the repeated verbal altercations and the assessment of double technical fouls in each of the first two games between Milwaukee and Indiana did not fully convey how acrimonious things have become, Pacers guard Tyrese Halliburton made sure to leave no doubt. "We don't have to sit here and act like it's any secret," Halliburton said after the Pacers took a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference first round series with a 123-115 win over Milwaukee on Tuesday. "We don't like them. They don't like us. And that's just what it is. And I think they live for this. We live for this. So I could not care less. I'm out here just trying to help my team win a game." The latest installment of the Bucks Pacers was just as unfriendly as many of the other recent games involving the teams, as things figured to remain heated as the Bucks return home desperate for a win, down 2-0 in that series. In game one, there was an altercation involving Halliburton and Damian Lillard, who was on the bench, as I mentioned, for that game, but returned to action last night, first time in a month, before producing another run-in between the All-Stars and Olympians. Another tense moment when Milwaukee's Gary Trent Jr. and Indiana's Pascal Siakam wrestled over a loose ball, with Siakam hitting the floor hard. You know, I think this is – Milwaukee had expectations, and rightly so. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, and Indiana has been the fly in their ointment. I mean, 2 years running, not just in the playoffs. They beat them in the in-season tournament last year. They won the series this year. They beat them in the playoffs last year. They're beating them in the playoffs this year. That'll piss you off. Let's just be blunt. But that's what you want. This reminds me of Larry Bird and all the dudes back in the day just going at it. "They don't like us. We don't like them." Yes. It's how it's supposed to be. This is not kumbaya. Everybody's not getting trophies, man. This is not the NCAA. where everybody gets to play forever. Because you deserve it. Because you're adjusting to how hard it is to breathe, or because you don't get the minutes you deserve. Still, that one, that one's going to take me a minute to get over. Didn't get the playing minutes. Oh, I think they would have done a lot better to leave that out. That was funny. Robert says, if form follows function, Pacers probably lose Friday night. Be nice to see them win this in five games. Very possible. Come back home and finish it out and up in Indianapolis. Brian says, Boston, L.A. I'm assuming that is who his final picks will be. That no. I cannot imagine L.A. beating Oklahoma City. I don't see it happening. Oklahoma City's been dominant. And the Lakers just, they're not dominant. But they do have Luka Doncic. They do have LeBron. But they're no Oklahoma City. So, yeah. Five Left says Golden State is back, baby. Yeah, are all the, let's see, Trace Jackson Davis still playing? Thomas Bryant still playing? I guess everybody's still playing, really. No series has been determined. So, Khalil Ware still playing? Let's see. I'm missing the fourth, whoever that is. I can't remember. There's a fourth Hoosier playing in the NBA playoffs, and everyone's still alive. Still alive as they are midway through just these first round series. We're going to take another break. When we come back, the captain, Rick Bozich, will join us. See how his White Sox are doing. At least they joined the NIL parade like we talked about earlier. We got plenty more coming. Back with it on the other side from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Wednesday, and that means a visit from the great one, Sir Rick Bozich. How are you, sir?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Cannot complain. The weather's beautiful. Just had Easter weekend, saw my daughter. Get to stare at the transfer portal every day, left and right. Life is grand. How are the White Sox doing, man?
Well, the White Sox aren't doing that. I think they're 5-17 or 5-18. They've lost 13 straight games in Minneapolis, and over the last two seasons, they're
don't go to Minneapolis.
1-16 against the Twins. What?
Don't go to Minneapolis. Stay away from
Minneapolis. If you said that, they couldn't go anywhere because they really can't beat anybody.
Well, I talked about them earlier because they do have their own NIL thing going on.
Football player.
Yeah. Luckily that he was a transfer from Notre Dame but he's Chicago area. But yeah, Pat Coogan on the White Sox NIL, they're a class. So that's kind of a cool deal. I don't know what does that do for those programs other than endear him to fans?
Yeah, I don't think the White Sox, they do have a pretty strong community relations department. They do a lot of things in the city of Chicago. They're very active in funding baseball teams in areas that don't have the money to pay for them, equipment and providing, leadership and fields and things like that. That's called the ACE program. They were one of the forefront in developing that. And they've been involved now in NIL. This is, I think, the third season. And I think they've had another athlete from the Chicago area who's been at IU before, wasn't a football or basketball player, but they've been very active in, having athletes from the Chicago area who are good students, who they support.
Yeah, they done a great job. It's good to see that, especially in a way that it's not just NIL crap, because there's so much that goes along with NIL that is not good, like the Nico, I don't know how to say it, Iamaleava, but someone nicknamed me yesterday, I'm a leaving. They nicknamed me Nico, I'm a leaving, and I like that.
It was a trade, really, because didn't their quarterback at UCLA end up at Tennessee? Yeah.
Forced him out, and then he ends up at Tennessee. Probably, and I wonder, did he end up getting more money than Nico Amalevin got? Because he took a big reduction, apparently.
I wish we could find out how much money some of these guys are getting. So far, that hasn't happened in the NFL or NBA or MLB. This, for some reason, the contracts usually become public knowledge almost immediately, but we haven't got to that point yet in college sports, but we'll get there.
Why is that? Why are they so secretive to that, do you think?
You know, I don't know. Maybe the players don't want it out there, or
I know they don't want it out there,
but schools don't want it out there, or the groups that are giving them the money don't want other people knowing they're, you know, giving them the money. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I just don't know how long you can go, though.
It's such a new development that we haven't got to that point yet. I mean, it's still the – I mean, that was our first holdout. We're just getting going in this stuff.
Oh, and that did not go well for him.
Nico? No, I mean, he left a team that was in the playoff last year to go to one of the five worst teams in the Big Ten, which doesn't come close to filling its stadium, and – you know, it was probably the 17th most popular thing to do in Los Angeles. Not very important.
Financially, a big, big loss, because not only everything I read said he has taken a seven-figure hit in that. Now you add to the fact that there's no state income tax in Tennessee, and in California is what, 115%?
One of the highest in the country, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, he overplayed his hand. There's no doubt about that. And at this point, you know, now it's up to him. If he's going to actually make real money in the NFL, he's got to prove that he can be a player. And it's going to be harder to do at UCLA than it was at Tennessee.
Caleb asking, does Rick know where Travis Perry is going?
I don't know where Travis Perry is going. That broke last night. He wants to go somewhere where he's going to play. I said, half kidding and half serious, that I think he should go to
Indiana.
Purdue. Because Matt Painter recruited the heck out of him when he was in high school, and Lawyer and Smith will be seniors, and he could come in and get a decent amount of minutes as the third guard, and Painter lets his guards run the show and shoot, and it'd be payback for Kentucky taking Kyle Macy back in 1976 or whenever it was.
Yeah, it would be. It's going to be interesting to see. That's how much of a blow is that to Kentucky?
I don't think it's a very big blow. It's a blow to the fan base because he's an in-state kid who is the all-time leading scorer in the state, and
never happened. They hardly ever recruit in-state kids.
Very rarely, you know. Richie Farmer, Josh Carrier, Reed Shepard, Rex Chapman. There've been a few of them, but.
He's from Eddyville, man. He is from...
That's where the state prison is, right?
But aren't the colors of the town blue and white?
Oh, he's a big Cat fan. They've overbooked the flight, though. They got so many players that I think he looked at the roster and said, I'm going to play less this year than I did last year. And if you watch Kentucky this year, he got very few minutes in the NCAA tournament. And Owa's coming back. They've got a kid who was a freshman last year named Caleb Chandler, who's actually 2 years older because he was going to go to BYU and did his mission time. And he started getting more minutes than Perry at the end of the year. And then they've got two or three good guards out of the portal. So I'm sure he said, hey, I'm going to be the 12th or 13th man. I want to go somewhere I can play. So if he really wants to play immediately, I mean, go to somewhere like Western Kentucky. I'm sure he could play from day one. I think I remember Matt Painter recruited him really hard. Indiana recruited him a little bit, but I don't think it was Woodson. I think it was Walsh or Dane Fife or somebody. But IU's got plenty of guards, too. It doesn't make any sense for him to come to Indiana. They need big men.
Yeah, they definitely need bigs. After landing yet another guard at the Drexel transfer, Jason Drake, they're guard rich now, where they had been guard poor. They've got to focus on getting some big men in now. And not that there aren't guys out there, but the farther this goes, it makes you wonder, okay, I guess the fortunate thing is you're looking at a specific avenue with the bigs, and you only need a couple. But the further this thing goes, is it get a little more dicey for Darren DeVries?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I mean, the portal officially closed last night. The names are just starting to trickle out today and tomorrow, and we'll probably know all the names by Friday. I mean, Louisville lost the guy this morning, James Scott. They're a starting center. He started pretty much every game all year and was a good player. He's decided he's going in the portal. A lot of speculation is he'll end up at NC State. I'm sure there's guys in the portal. They need, from what I know of the way DeVries likes to play, I mean, he doesn't need a post-up center. He wants a guy who can go inside some and rebound and defend and hold his position on the block and give him a little bit of a occasional offensive burst inside. So they need a couple of 6'8", 6'9", guy who's got some substance to him, or a taller guy with long arms who can give him a presence. And the challenge will be the Big Ten hasn't come all the way around to the way the ACC and SEC and some of the schools play basketball with more perimeter three-point oriented games. It's still more of a power league. So they're going to need.
What's that going to be like for Indiana next year? Because they're not going to play like that.
No, they're not. And that'll be good to watch to see how that works out and how the rest of the Big Ten adjust to it, because Purdue and Michigan State are going to play that way.
It is going to be fun to see, because I've talked about, for Indiana fans, they're going to see something they haven't seen in nearly a decade. A team that can shoot, a team that will shoot, a team that focuses on shooting, and they're going to see, I hate to use the word positionless basketball, but something that is closer to positionless basketball, as you just mentioned, and I agree with, whoever the quote-unquote five or center ends up being, it's going to be a guy that's not anchored to the basket. He's not going to be making all of his shots from 2 feet away, and he's going to be, there's going to be a lot more ball movement, a lot more spacing. It's going to be a faster and more up-tempo offense. It's going to be interesting to see how they compare to some of these teams, though, like you're talking about with Purdue and Michigan State, that do play still more traditional style. What is that going to be like? How is Indiana going to match up with them? Is it going to be keeping up with the Joneses, or forcing them to or imposing your will on them?
It's a great question. I mean, I think the big men they get,
I don't ask many of those.
Right, the most important factor will be, can they run the floor? Because I think DeVries has said on several occasions that their initial goal is to score within the first 12 seconds of the play. In other words, get down and score before the defense gets set. You'd want to – there are any Cody Zellers out there, but a guy who can run the floor like that, who's interested when he sees you're in a period of transition to get down the floor. Then the other thing would be you want a big man who can actually handle the ball and stand outside the lane and be able to make some good passes. And that really wasn't the strength of this IU team last year. I wouldn't say that either Renew or Ballot was a particularly good passer.
No. What, now that we've had NIL or the transfer portal for a couple of years, is it harder to get big men? Is it harder to get, I would think that there are more guards and those types of players available than the bigs. That would lend me to think it's harder to get that guy you need, the one, out of the portal. But it's not impossible, and there's plenty in there. Like you said, we don't even know who all is going to be in the portal yet till probably the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, supply and demand, there's just always more guards and forwards than there are centers. There aren't as many tall guys in the population at large, and there aren't as many tall, skilled guys, and the guys who are good are in high demand. And they're going to be, you know, a lot of them are going to have a home at a Power 4 school, Power 5 school, and be paid rather well. So got to wait and see. I haven't seen the list of who's left still out there, and I haven't seen today what other guys win. I'm sure a few more guys went in today, and I would suspect that DeVries and Kenny Johnson and Drew Adams and the rest of the staff know three or four guys that they have a shot at and are already working to try and get them on campus.
Yeah, now the Indiana's focus has to turn to there, but they also have several spots, like seven open spots yet, if you're going to the 15-man roster, which I think that they will, not per se to fill it up with players that you expect production from, but you have to have the bodies for practice. You still need those 15 players, I would imagine.
Right, because you can't have walk-ons, right? No more walk-ons.
Right, Right. So you've got to have those bodies for practice at the very least, not so much as for production, but also that's a place where you could put potential freshmen that you want to get in. But that's that becomes a slippery slope now, because you're bringing these guys in, but how you know they're going? You have no clue that whether or not they're going to be there next year, whether they will stay. You're going to have to re-recruit them. You know that. But right now, that's not Darren DeVries' focus, but he does probably have to bring in another freshman or two on this roster, I would think.
Yeah, that would make sense to me, to bring in one or two more if they're out there. And you got to weigh it against bringing guys in and bringing guys in who are a good fit for your program, because the first year is pretty critical to establish your culture and not have locker room issues or discontented players or whatever, and establish the way you're going to run the show. And you need to make sure that the guys that you are recruiting fit your style, and it's a good marriage, because you don't want to have to deal with a bunch of turmoil during your first season as a coach. So we'll see. It's how many? I don't even know. How many of the guys have they got lined up? Seven? Is that what it is?
Right now? Is that
counting Goody? And so far, Goody's not been cleared yet, and there's some feeling that he won't be?
Yeah, just because he played his games. The games that he did play were at the end of the season.
Right.
So, and we just saw the NCAA, it was breaking news for me, the NCAA won a lawsuit. I'm like, wait, stop the clock. The NCAA, well, it was the guys, the student athletes from Duke and North Carolina that were suing because they felt their 5-year eligibility rule, it's not fair. Some of the reasons they gave, it just made me laugh. One of them was not enough playing minutes.
Yeah, I missed that one, and I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, because I said, why don't you just add, it was hard. Oh, it was all kinds of ridiculous reasons that the suit should go through, and they had everything there but the difficulty adjusting to the oxygen variants in their new home or something ridiculously dumb. I mean, they have come up, though. I said at the time, I go, all four of those guys should be countersued for frivolous lawsuits. That was just baloney. It's becoming maddening. Everybody wanting their piece of the pie. And if you didn't get your playing minutes, you probably weren't good enough to play. So that's life. Yeah. When is the people in college going to be faced with the reality of life, real life? Because living in that NCAA life of bubble is not real.
I mean, I'm with you. It's the reality of not being willing to understand and accept the word no. That no, this is a rule. You can't do that. No, we're not going to allow that. No, you're not going to play this year. I mean, nobody wants to accept the word no. And that's what's helped create the system that we have right now. And I mean, the viewership was up during the tournament. I just wonder whether among some fans at some point they're going to be turned off by the way this is all unfolding. And, you know, it's not a good topic for me to talk about, because I mean, growing up under the other system and watching what players used to do in terms of waiting their turn and developing and getting a little bit better every year. And you could watch a guy and say, man, you watch him over his career and say, Greg Graham, man, when he came in, he was this, and then he was great. And then, you know, I could mention it a lot at Kentucky, where, you know, Tony Delk was a good player. Anthony Epps, there's one. He barely played his first couple of years, and then he became the starting point guard on the national championship team. Russ Smith at Louisville almost left one or two times his first year. And by his senior year, I mean, he has bags packed in the hallway, and somebody talked him out of it. If the transfer portal would have been here, he would have been gone. He leaves as one of five players ever to have his number retired at the University of Louisville. We're not going to have those kind of guys anymore, and it's not important to people. It's important is that the players have the freedom to go wherever they want and do whatever they want. And I think it's gone too far in one direction. I do.
Well, there's no question about that. And then now it's, how do you get it back? How do you reel that back? It's like trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's one of those things that people are still looking for the answer and the way to do that without no question. And it has to reach. It's just like the stock market correction. There has to be a correction at some point, one would think, because people don't like, the only people that love this are the players who are making that big
and
money.
Their agents.
And the agents, they are really starting, I think, to become a problem. I'm wondering how many of the agents are behind things like that ridiculous lawsuit of the Duke and North Carolina players and the Nico Iamaliava. Was that his dad, his agent? Who caused that? Somebody caused that. And if it wasn't his dad and it was an agent, I'd sue that SOB for $1 million for what he's going to lose, because he's going to lose $1 million.
Well, again, the difference between this and real professional sports is that in the NFL or the MLB or the NBA, agents have to be certified. And that's not the case in college sports. There's no certification process. A lot of the guys do go to agencies that have certified agents, but a number of them don't. And I've heard these stories from multiple coaches that a player will come in and agree to a deal. And then, you know, a few months later, whether he or somebody else got a deal or he's performed well and thinks he deserves more, that the agent will call the coach and say, well, you know, we need more. It's like, we just agreed to this number a few months ago. It's like, now we need more. And I don't think you can run any operation that way. And I believe I saw a story yesterday that it's Arkansas that had a player who's leaving that they're trying to encourage the collective to sue the player to he had a buyout in his clause, or they want to put buyouts in the clauses of players where if they do agree to a deal and then they leave, that they owe the collective a buyout.
Well, I don't disagree with that. If you come to an agreement, that's an agreement.
Yeah.
You have agreed. And I think then Nico, I'm a leaving, come to an agreement. I mean, that's what was so aggravating to Josh Heupel in Tennessee. There was an agreement in place. And my question is, was this a signed agreement? If it's a signed agreement, boom, you got a legal document.
Yeah. And you know what made it even worse at Tennessee is they went the extra mile to get him the money that he got and get him eligible. They had the University of Tennessee legal department affiliated with the athletic department who took on some issues down there early in his career to get him cleared to play. And you know, I don't, the whole thing is just every day. It's like last night it was Travis Perry, and then there was another one that went in the portal. Then this morning it's James Scott. It's just, it's unrelenting.
Yeah, it never stops. Rick Bozich from WDRB.com with us here at Indiana Sports Beat Radio from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios. Back with more on the other side after these messages. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this beautiful Wednesday. Rick Bozich from WDRB.com with us. Could not be happier. Rick, let's see, football, spring football over. In a break, we were talking about IU football. They look good in their game. Fernando Mendoza, there's no drop off at quarterback for Indiana. As a matter of fact, I think that it might be an uptick, not because he is per se better than Curtis Rourke, but he definitely has more mobility. And not that I'm suggesting he needs to be running with the ball, but to escape, just to escape the pocket, to keep a play alive, to make a play. He has that ability. He has deep throw ability. He can hit the deep ball. Indiana's offensive line has been upgraded. You've added Pat Coogan, the guy we were talking about earlier. You've added a tight end. They've added a few. They get a was it Drew Evans back? So I think that they've upgraded things on the offensive line. The running backs room is very solid. And watching that game, man, Kalen Bach, he had a 47-yard burst up the middle, like he was shot out of a cannon. Boom, and he was gone. Roman Hemby and EB from UAB showed they're very good out of the backfield catching the ball. Didn't get to see a lot of the deep routes. Omar Cooper was not available, I believe, or was it? No, Omar Cooper was. Surratt. Touchdowns. Elijah Surratt wasn't available. But, yeah, I think that the offense is going to pick up right where they left off and maybe a little ahead. Defensively, they picked up some guys in the last few days out of the portal, filling in the pieces that they need for Brian Haynes. The defensive line was a great benefit for Indiana's defense last year, one of the top 10 in the country. C.J. West off to the NFL, most likely. His former teammate at Kent State, one of the guys that has come in, and then they land a former linebacker of Maryland yesterday who's probably going to play on the line. So they're looking pretty good, I think. And I was talking about earlier, Indiana is I can see them being 10-2, but that means they have to win a game at either Iowa, Oregon, or Penn State. And to make the college football playoffs, though, they have to win one of those three games. You cannot go 0-3 there and go back to the college. I mean, 9-3 would be a great season, no question. It will not get you in the college football playoffs, even from the Big Ten, if you do not beat one of those three teams, unless your name is Alabama. Then you might still get in. But we'll have to see. Are they going to have the guaranteed four spots? I mean, that is not – that won't change for this upcoming one. The only thing that might change is the seeding, which I cannot believe we're even saying might. That has to be a given that that changes because of the ridiculousness that we all saw that that was. And I think that the committee saw that and everything. So I think that that happens. It's just going to come down to the SEC and the Big Ten, you know, stretching, flexing, and getting their four automatic qualifiers, which I kind of hate that because you're giving a lot of it away, guaranteeing to people who may not deserve it. As shocking as it was last year to see the SEC have teams that didn't deserve to be in. Alabama, to me, did not deserve to be in over some of the teams and rightfully did not get in, although it caused all this consternation from SEC, from Mr. Gregg, who, you know, the SEC should probably have all 14 spots in his eyes, if truth were told. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, and the most interesting thing I've seen from IU is when they see needs, and they saw two needs on defense after the spring game, they targeted several guys, and they closed the deal quickly. And that's the sign of a coaching staff that I think is on it and efficient and has something to sell. That's two guys who started at Maryland last year who decided they'd rather play at Indiana. And they're not like Indiana kids. They're more East Coast kids. So that's a fairly impressive thing to do. It used to be that Indiana players would go elsewhere and play somewhere in the Big Ten. Now they're coming from another Big Ten team, which several years ago was ahead of IU in the Big Ten East pecking order. And now IU's taking their players away. I agree with you on Mendoza. I'm not saying he'll be better than Rourke, but he's got some attributes that Rourke doesn't have, and one is athleticism. And I watched several of Cal's games last year because they're in the ACC, the same league as Louisville, and he could run. And he's can turn nothing into something. Guys who can run can turn nothing into something. And I think one thing that we overlook is that Curtis Rourke played injured last year. I mean, didn't it come out after the year he had some kind of a knee issue?
Torn MCL, ACL. Yeah.
And he had a thumb issue. And so after the great start, and then he missed the game that Taven Jackson played, he was compromised the last half of the year. So, you know, they do have a chance to have an upgraded play at quarterback. The only concern would be is there isn't really an experienced backup. I know they got a guy from Old Dominion or something. He was the backup.
I'm telling you right now, I think that they are better set at backup than they were last year.
With Taven?
Yes. And it's not a knock on Taven per se, because he was very athletic. Fernando's brother, the Mendoza brothers are, he stepped in and looked confident. And then you had the other kid that was from Old Dominion, like you said, I'm drawing a blank on his names right now, but he stood in the pocket and threw the ball. And I'm like, man, these guys are pretty solid. So I think they're better positioned in that regard than they were a year ago. Not that you want to go with a backup. If you don't have to, I mean, that doesn't usually work out for anybody. There's a reason why you have a number one. He's number one. But I think they're better positioned than they were a year ago. And Fernando and Alberto, they're accustomed to that. I mean, that's what they did in high school. Fernando was the guy for a couple of years at his high school. Alberto followed him behind him for a couple of years. I can see that happening at Indiana.
Could be. And I wouldn't write off Tyler Cherry. I'm sure he's a good prospect, too. He's got to sit out this year with the knee injury. So quarterback doesn't seem to be the concern it was several years ago.
Isn't that funny?
And they've really upgraded their running back room. I mean, from what I've heard, I mean, I know that Hemby's a solid player. I saw him play at Maryland. The kid at UAB was very productive at UAB, and Kalen Black seems to be healthy. So and Coogan, yeah, they've I agree with you. I think they've solidified the offense. I mean, you can see who the players are. They did take a hit. The kid from Michigan, who was going to be the slot receiver, tore up his knee and won't be able to play. And I think he had the ability to be a big time contributor, not only as a receiver but in the return game. I think he was a punt return guy. But you know, you've got to believe in Cignetti's the same guy now that he was last year. He hadn't changed. Success hasn't gone to his head. He still talks the same way, and if anything, I think their success has enabled them to have the confidence and the ability to recruit better players.
Yeah, now he knows he has to back it up this year, so yeah. There's no reason for him to go off on some tangent, but you're exactly right. They have filled in the little places they need to make better.
And
the
quickly.
Defense had some, yes, and precisely, more importantly, to get better. And I think that is exactly what this entire team has done. They've gotten better.
And the word's gotten out. I mean, obviously the kid, you know, that followed C.J. West, I'm sure he talked to C.J. West, and C.J. West said, you can trust this coaching staff. They're going to do what they say. They made me better. I'm going to get to the NFL because of the way I was coached there. And I'm sure the kid at Maryland talked to Hemby and said, what's it like there? Do you like it there? And he said, yeah, I do like it here. And you should come here too. So word of mouth is important in recruiting. Didn't they just get a commitment yesterday, the day before, from a high school player in the state of Ohio?
Linebacker. Yeah. Good linebacker. And you mentioned the guy that was transferred over from Kent State. CJ West was at the spring game. I think that they both were there together. So,
okay.
Definitely. And yeah, they picked up a nice pickup at linebacker to add into what they're doing. Solid pickup. So moving right along. And so looking forward to, we won't talk to Cignetti. We'll see Cignetti in about a month thereabouts.
Huber's.
At Huber's, which is on the 28th, Wednesday the 28th. Well, we'll get to talk to actually for the first time since his announcement, really, Darren DeVries. And by then, with another month, I would imagine Indiana's roster will have pretty much taken shape. If it has,
and the coaching staff, don't they have two spots still in the coaching staff to fill?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, they have one assistant yet still to announce. We don't know exactly what Drew Adams' position is per se, right? I haven't seen that in for certainties of what it is going to be, whether it's going to be a GM type, a recruiting type, who knows? But they're filling all these. It's a lot of stuff to fill in. When you have to build your team first, and you've got all this other stuff that you've got to build, but you want to focus on this, but building that helps you build this. It's a lot of moving parts.
I got a question for you. Will the basketball coach still be the headliner at Huber's, or is it switched now after what happened last year where the football coach is now the headliner?
That is a great question. That is a great question. And it is a great question. Yep. And it's a legit question, because it's not just what Cignetti did. It's how he did it. It's his personality, because this whole thing that Huber's, the whole deal, that was a Bob Knight thing. That started just the local alumni association getting Bob Knight down to talk.
It was a small group of guys that they had a room at Huber's, and they, it was sort of almost like invitation only, no media involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. As a,
Billy Reed got to go occasionally.
I had it set up to go when I was an intern at WLKY there in Louisville. Through Kit Klinghoffer, we had it all approved by Knight, and we still got turned away at the door because the local jackleg had no idea what was going on and just refused to listen and let us in, although Knight made good on it later on in Bloomington, gave us an exclusive interview, which was great. But, yeah, that's how it started. But now, Kurt Cignetti, his personality – is a lot closer to Bob Knight's than Darren DeVries is. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just, he has a personality. This guy is, he talks and people like to listen to what he's got to say.
That's another thing of, you know, I've never heard DeVries speak, but I think it'd be harder for him to follow Cignetti than it would be for Cignetti to follow DeVries, because Cignetti knows how to get people talking and fired up. One of the most painful things in the history of Huber's was going in there and listening to Archie Miller talk.
Oh my God.
Right? I mean, he couldn't speak like that in front of a crowd. I mean,
proud thing that I am of our first stop at the University of Dayton was we didn't stop.
A man of many words, Lil Rhodey.
So I'll be curious. I hope Terry Moren comes too, because she's got a lot to talk about.
It's going to be, but that is a great question. And the sheer fact that that's even a possibility shows the massive change in IU athletics, in Indiana football, in just everything. Because that would have never even been a possibility in my mind. I wouldn't even thought to have asked that question. Seriously.
And throw it out to the viewers. What do you think? Who should be the
moment you said it, though, I'm like, oh, my God, that's a great question, because I think that the answer might be Cignetti. He's also
done it. He's a national coach of the year that took IU to the football playoffs.
Yeah,
Better than that.
And his personality. I mean,
doesn't need to be the warm-up act for anybody.
Well, who speaks first, DeVries or Cignetti?
No, that's what I'm asking you.
Who speaks first?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. No, I just thought you meant who was even going to be the bigger draw.
I think Cignetti's the bigger. I mean, DeVries is a big draw because he's a first-year coach, and there's a lot of pent-up demand for IU basketball success.
I think that they would have to alternate this on a yearly basis.
Yeah, you do. That's the best answer. But, you know, it's always automatically been the basketball coach has been last. Tom Allen always went first when I saw him there. Kevin Wilson went first. The basketball coach went last. The basketball coach was the center of attention. And I think that changed last year, where Kurt Cignetti is the center of attention. And I could see him being the last guy in front of the microphone, because he knows how to work a crowd. He knows how to do it.
And that's a hard flip to accomplish, because that crowd, that's a basketball crowd, man. Southern Indiana is just so basketball. And it's awesome to see the acceptance of change, the acceptance of what has happened. And I think Indiana football is going to have a better season than Indiana basketball. That does not mean I think Indiana basketball is not going to have a good season. I'm expecting, I've said this once, and it's so funny to say this,
8-4 would be a grave disappointment for Indiana football. How no one is
I'm,
ever
I'm not at that point. Yet.
To me, because that means they lost a home game, first of all, which there is no home game that they should lose. And
that very first home game against Illinois in the Big Ten is not going to be easy. Illinois is good.
I said that very thing earlier today. That is a tough one to start with. Last year, Indiana's schedule was just picture perfect with those three cupcake non-cons. And then even in the Big Ten schedule, it started out very low. Was UCLA their first game?
Yes.
I think so. You start out and it just slowly, the difficulty just slowly rose. And it never got to be until the end of the year. That's not going to be the case this year. As a matter of fact, their toughest three-game stretch comes in the first six games. Illinois is one of those because you open Big Ten play against a team that is also going to be fighting for a college football playoff spot. They were last year, and if it hadn't been for Indiana, you would have heard a lot more about Illinois, but Indiana stole their thunder. But after the Illinois game, they have to go to Iowa and then to Oregon. That's a tough stretch.
Very tough. And Illinois's got a lot of starters back. I think 17 or 18 starters back. And Bielema is a good coach. That'll be a hard game. That's the most critical game on the schedule. Because then after that, you're right. You have back-to-back road games against Iowa City, where there was a nightmare the last time they went there. And then to Oregon, which I'm sure will be rated in the top 10. And have a million really fast dudes and rarely loses in Eugene. So, you don't want to go 0-3 in that stretch.
No, you can't. But that Iowa game, that's a game that is really – that jumps out to me because I think it's their best opportunity to win a valuable road game. Mm-hmm. But it's still going to be tough. I don't know how good Iowa's going to be. I mean, I know they're going to be good. They've got a quarterback that came in from South Carolina that can throw the ball. We haven't seen an Iowa team that throws the ball much. So there's
changes there. I'm still not convinced Kirk Ferentz is going to be comfortable letting his offensive coordinator throw the ball much. He's the longest tenured coach in the country now, isn't he? He's defense and the running of the game is still his bread and butter. He's not going to change much for that. So that'll be a game. Iowa usually plays close games. They usually play close, low scoring games. So it should be more competitive than the last time Indiana went in there. I'll say that.
Cannot wait. Derby a week away, a week from this Saturday, but lots going on out at the track down there in Louisville. Have you been out there yet? I'm sure.
Yeah, I was out last weekend. Seven or eight Derby horses worked on Saturday morning. The favorite is going to be a horse probably named Journalism. There's also a horse named Publisher, so it's a big year for print media finally. Bob Baffert makes his return for the first time since 2021. He's got two horses. At the beginning of the year, a lot of people thought he would have four. He's got two. His top runner is Rodriguez. Even Dwayne Lucas, who's now 85 or 86, is going to have a horse in the Derby. So we'll have plenty to discuss all week next week.
Looking for it, man. What else is up next for you?
NFL draft. Louisville's quarterback might get taken in the first round, Tyler Shuck. If not, early second round. And we'll wait and see what goes on with Curtis Rourke and CJ West from the Hoosiers.
Yeah, looking forward to that, and hopefully he does get picked up for him. That'll be a boost to Indiana. They've got to start producing some NFL. That's the next thing Indiana football has to do. They've got to start producing NFL talent to start bringing in higher talent. That's what helps bring in better talent.
You're right. Kids want to know, can you get them to the league?
Rick Bozich, the captain from WDRB.com. Don't work too hard, brother. Enjoy the track. I look forward to seeing you down there, but we'll see you again before the Derby comes around anyway.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Betcha. Thank you, brother. Rick Bozich from WDRB.com. Make sure you are giving him a follow, keeping up with all that he has to offer, which is a lot in the sports world. And we appreciate each and every one of you, as always, for following along with us. Yeah, Fred likes it when I go solo. Not so much. It's a lot to do. John says Baffert horses are usually one take over the line, one toke One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. First round tomorrow, 8 p.m. Not sure what that's regarding to. We'll have to see, though. Hey, appreciate you guys. We're back tomorrow to do it all again. Plenty more to talk about. We'll get Kyler Staley from Hoosier.com to update you on what's going on in the transfer world of Indiana basketball and much, much more. Bob Kravitz and much more on top of that. Coach Griffith, we'll talk some football. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. Go out, have yourselves a great day. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.